This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician.
Giddy hit Austin.
My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
Just want to do things my own way, you know.
I'm told this road ends in Corpus, or at least that's what they say. And if you don't turn your wheels to the right or left, you'll drive right into the bay. Some kind of sweet saltwater revival to someone who's never been there. But to you who know it all so well, you know that it's best to beware. Casting your thoughts to the symphony you call, nothing more than a memory too. You recognize all the places.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, broadcasting to you in beautiful high-definition audio, or something quite like it, to all corners of the globe, to all the ships at sea, to all of you fans worldwide, who, no matter where you are, can go to your computer screen to p2podcast.com, where every week is uploaded a one-hour show of insight and perspective you can only get from me, right here in Fort Worth, Texas, and sometimes elsewhere. Welcome, everyone. What a great time we're having here this summer. Sweating it out, loving the heat, eating it up. Wish we'd get a little rain, though. The yard gets a bit dry, you know what I'm saying, here in Fort Worth. Oh, man, you know, that's something I just don't believe in. Watering the grass, way overrated. My sweet mom, just, your yard's dying. I just shrug. I'm like, whatever. We got a big front yard. I'm like, man, I'm not going to just pour water on that thing. That's money, man. Don't you read the papers? Water rights, dollars, Boone Pickens, the big oil guy. He owns all the water. You don't be wasting that water, man. It's expensive. Well, so I don't do it, man. So my yard dies every couple years. But then you know what? We hit a nice, cool spring or fall. We get a lot of rain, and boom, green grass right back where it started. Ready for my push Fisker's mower to push over it and mow it. So I look forward to that, to the yard coming back. But in the meantime, when it gets real hot like this, I don't even have to mow it. It just sits there looking kind of sad. Of course, the kids get out there in the slip and slide, you know, stuff like that. So we get some green patches out there. So don't get on me too much. But it does get tough to keep it green, man. Even the obsessive older folks down the block, even their pristine green yards, man, they start to yellow up when you don't get any rain. So praying for rain here in Texas and Colorado, New Mexico, everywhere like that. Arizona, gosh, everywhere. Hot and dry. Looking for the sun and praying for rain, as the old Soul Hat song says. One day closer to rain every day, as our friend Owen Temple says. A lot of great songs about rain. So, we will think of that today on the podcast. But what I want to talk about today, we've mentioned this in the podcast before, but I was struck by it yesterday reading a magazine that came in the mail. I can't remember if it was Bon Appetit. Oh, Phil, you're reading Bon Appetit. Hey, now. Hey, man, I'm a proud chef. I'm a proud cooking guy, grilling. I'm always looking for little tips. Do a lot of cooking, man. No matter how hot or cold it gets, I'm outside on the grill at night. I cook over the open fire year-round in the Weber. No gas. Charcoal briquettes only, please. But, man, you know what really struck me? I've said this to some extent, but I formulated a few more thoughts recently. Cooking, food, maybe it's always been like this, but I feel like there's just a boom. I'm probably because of cable TV, all the cooking shows, and some magazines and the internet where you can really see food worldwide in other parts of the country and funky recipes. There's a boom in excitement about food that I've never seen. I never remember wanting to go eat anywhere. I mean, I don't know. When I was growing up, you heard like, ah, yeah, New Orleans, they got great food. There's just kind of this general idea. Or, man, New York, you know, Little Italy, man, go get some pasta. I'm like, okay, you know. But you really didn't. You wouldn't have known about some roadhouse in Arizona or something like that. But, of course, you see these, you know, diners, drive-ins and dives or whatever, the Guy Fieri show, who I want to not like, but I can't help it. I like Guy. You know, the Bobby Flay shows and all these celebrity chefs. But they're always going out and they're doing something interesting. And it just occurred to me reading this magazine that was all based around grilling. It was like their summer grilling spectacular. All these cool recipes and ways to do your fire and all this stuff. Learned a little bit reading from it. Very interesting stuff in there. You know, it just hit me like a brick wall, man. I was sitting here reading this cooking magazine about food, for crying out loud, with great anticipation. Feeling inspired, you know, picture of some guy or some gal cooking in Mexico. They bought some place on the beach. They used fresh ingredients. This was their vision. Man, it's just a story of these people. They went down there with this vision, this dream. They built the kitchen outside. They used wood, only the finest ingredients. Now they're up and running. And to stay ahead, what are they serving? Burgers and fries? Garbage. No, they're grilling pineapple. They're making grapefruit tequila margaritas, whatever. They're doing whatever's going to distinguish them to make them different from every other margarita or every other restaurant you've ever been in your stinking life. That's the only way you survive in the food business. And it got me to thinking, didn't the music business used to be that? Isn't that what the music business used to be? Do I look through Rolling Stone or Spin magazine inspired with a lump in my throat reading about these bands? That's laughable. I hear you laughing out there. It's a bunch of dudes just with spiky hair and tattoos just doing whatever they need to do to get in the paper and get on the radio. The most uninspiring writings and readings I've ever read in my life or seen. Now, I don't know. I know there's some alternative indie magazines, I'm sure, that got some great stories in there. And there are some great stories. I'm talking about at the top, man. I'm talking just what's out there. These food stories, you can't fake food. You can't fake quality. You know what I mean? That's kind of what it comes down to in these food magazines. You don't read the food magazine going like, oh, I bet this guy paid a lot of money to get this article in here. His crappy food, you know, they're giving it a great review. Man, that just doesn't fly. You cannot fake it. Now, you can pay for publicity and stuff like that, but you can't buy a line around your building at 10 in the morning. There was an article in there that I was shocked about a barbecue place. Franklin Barbecue, are you down there? Austin, Texas. Email me, philip@philpritchard.com. I lived in Austin forever, man. You got the Salt Lick down there, Ironworks Barbecue, Louis Miller's Barbecue up in Taylor. Awesome barbecue. But, man, they were just saying, dude, this place, Franklin's Barbecue, this young guy is like 31, opened on the east side. And, dude, it talked about how he cooks his meat and stuff. And the kind of beef he uses, and man, I was just like, man, that sounds unbelievably great. But it was inspiring, man. This guy goes to one of the barbecue meccas of the world, Austin, in a very short period of time. I think he opened in 2009 or something like that. But it was all about how he cooks and learned, and he moved over there. And man, there's just a line around the building at 10 a.m. To buy his meat. And then when the ribs and everything's gone, he puts a sign in the window, sorry, sold out, see you tomorrow. And it was inspiring reading. I was like, man, you just can't, you've got to be good to get people to come out like that. And, you know, the same is said for music. To draw crowds and stuff like that, you do. You do have to be good. And so, I think going to see a live band, it can be inspiring, of course, still. But I do think the magazines, my point is, it's the publicity element of it, it is such BS. And it just, the music thing... you do get the sense that these guys, they're just trying to get on the radio, they're just trying to get this kind of publicity. And that's all well and good. I'm just saying, for me as a reader, it's not very inspiring. Whereas the food stories, are just are amazing, aren't they? I mean, it's just always some guy or some person that's just leveraged their whole life, you know, that picked up and left somewhere. I just did it, man. I sold my business, moved here, opened up, didn't know a thing about this, you know, started making soup or what, and then here they go. And it's a great story, and I wish we had more stories like that in music. But all the stories in music are like, we've been playing guitar forever. We really wanted to get a record deal, so we got one, and we got our single out. Everybody go buy it. I'm just like, dude, that does not inspire me one bit. But in the old days, man, not too long ago, the weirder your story was in music, those were the guys that rose to the top, man. You know, the REMs, the U2s, the way on back to all the classic rock dudes. You never went into the studio thinking, okay, let's just sound like everybody else and that'll get us where we want to be. No, man, you thought like the great chefs of today, the restaurant owners of today. You thought, what can we do that no one else is going to even think of to do? You know, Pink Floyd and they're recording Dark Side of the Moon or The Wall or, you know, Bob Dylan doing a record or Jackson Browne. Or, man, what can I say in this song that hasn't been said? How can we frame it in a way that's never been framed before? How can we distinguish ourselves from the other acts of the day? And I don't know, man. Even here in the Texas music world, man, you hear a lot of talk. Young bands, they're not trying to do something different, man. They're trying to do something very vocally. They're trying to do something the same as everybody else. And they think that's the right thing to say. They're like, well, you know, if we're going to go talk to Smith Music Group or whoever, we want to show them that we are Texas. We are Red Dirt. We're here to play ball. We're here to, you know what I'm saying? And they think they're doing the right thing. And maybe in the short term, they are. Maybe that does get them in the door or whatever. But, man, I think ultimately it is like that cooking, man. We are all, us bands, us producers, whatever we are, podcasters, we are our own cottage industry, man. We just got a little bubble around each one of us that we're trying to protect and expand to some degree. And you got to be mindful of that. But in the long run, man, you've got to distinguish yourselves. And you've got to be inspiring. And you've got to stretch and push the boundaries and say no and hold your cards close to your chest and all those other kind of cliches. But they're absolutely true, man. And I think if you're a young band out there right now and you got some song that's just, but you love it, and maybe some of your close friends go, man, that's just so interesting and cool, but you're thinking, ooh, well, the radio would never play this, or you know, I can't play this for this producer or something. They say, man, they need something that's 3 minutes and blah, 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 and has a big chorus, and, you know, it's too depressing. Man, the next great act, and I mean truly great, not just popular, the next truly great act to come out of Texas, you know, around here, or anywhere, but is going to be someone who really goes for it, man. And we're all going to know it when we see it and hear it, especially. And I hope, I just hope it's recorded here at Trinidad World Recording. That's all I know, whether here or in Colorado or wherever I may be. So if I'm speaking your language here, email me, phil@philpritchard.com. If you are a chef with music and you want to invent something that has not been tasted and stick out your neck, do something new, you know, stretch yourself. Hey, Phil, here's my songs. We do them this way, but man, you know, how else can we, I don't know, what's an approach? I really like this band. How can we maybe reach into this pot over here or maybe paint with this brush a little bit? Hey, what do you think? What do we have to lose? You have nothing to lose. If you sound just like, you know, Ragweed or something, man, I hate to tell you, that doesn't mean you're on the right track. That means that trail has been blazed. It's been blazed and burned up just like Raton Pass up there where the forest fire was. Gone. You got to go out in the woods and find your own path. And that takes a nice clean machete and a box of matches and a rifle. Pick it up and go into the wilderness. I'll be there to help you out. Well, that's my attempt at being somewhat inspiring here. Make today's musicians more like the cooks of today I read about in these magazines. Inspire us, damn it. We're all waiting. Good grief. Don't tell me the story about how you got a record deal. Tell me about how you wrote these songs in a closet, recorded them, put them online. One guy said it was good, so you wrote him his own song and emailed it to him. Give me that story. Give me that story and then just top it off with some great music, man. And just, that's what we want. We want the grapefruit tequila margarita made by hand on the beach in Mexico. We want something we can't get from anywhere else. That's what we want from you. We've already got our Ragweed catalog. We got our Pat Green. Hell, even our Phil Pritchett catalog, man. Let it all lay. Cook us something we've never tasted before, and success will be yours. As Gusteau says in the great Pixar film Ratatouille, only the fearless can be truly great. Well, let's see who pops in for a little visit in our second segment that always has a guest, an insightful person coming in here to chat. Who will it be? Find out next on the B2 Podcast.
He speaks to you in that broken English. The translation all stays the same. And all the things that you claim you've forgotten, and the words you dare not repeat, still breathe down near the water in the prints of a younger man's speech. When you take a walk, which do yourself use of? Say something about how it's all changed. It takes some time to occur to what you have lost and what you have gained by feeling more anxious again. Feeling more anxious again.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, broadcasting in beautiful high-definition audio, or something quite like it, to all corners of the globe, to all the ships at sea. Welcome, fans. Well, as we said in our previous segment, you just never know. You just never know who's going to drop by Trinidad World Recording Studios. Sometimes I just go out in the parking lot and pick somebody out of the crowd of fans that sometimes cluster around out there. Spray painting Pritchett graffiti out there sometimes. And who's out there today just kind of stopping by, signing some autographs for some of the passersby out there? J.W. Blue Marshall here, bass guitar player for the full band. How you doing, Blue?
Yo, doing well. Glad to be here.
Well, it's good to have you here, man. Good to have you. You were here... Well, it's been a couple months since you've been on.
It's been a while.
You've become kind of a regular here on the podcast.
I'm becoming a regular.
You're earning your way into this thing.
5 years in the band now.
5 years in the band.
As of last weekend.
And, of course, our beloved Stuart Wiley, who is retired. A shocking early retirement. That we're still only now recovering from. But we've been out. We've been playing with our friend Luke Ayers on drums.
Yep.
The folks at Woody's and the Firehouse and a couple other places have gotten to meet Luke Ayers, who's going to be doing some shows with us. He'll be playing the live recording with us in Corpus Christi.
Coming up.
Yeah. Boy, that
August 13th.
Does everybody have that on the calendar out there? Fans, you listening to me out there? August the 13th, Saturday, Phil Pritchett and the Full Band live at the Surf Club, as we've done for so long. But this one, Blue, will be going to tape.
That's
or
right.
Some kind of warm, rich-sounding computer.
Now, when was the last live album release? Was that
02? I was shocked. I thought it was like
2000.
I thought it was 2006. Cool, Unusual Punishment. I picked up the CD as 2003.
Ooh.
Which probably means it was recorded in like 2002. I was like, has it been that long? Good grief.
Going on 10 years.
I know. It's just crazy. We've been through two presidents since then or something.
That's right.
They come and they go. Who remains? Phil Pritchett and the Full Band. That's who. Throughout the ages. So, man, yeah, this is going to be a big deal. We talked some about thinking about doing a live record last time.
Right.
And now it all coming to fruition here. Well, I want to talk about another subject here, one that I've been getting some email on. Oh, man, some people outraged. We talk so much, of course, about the business of music, streaming online, subscriptions, Spotify, iTunes, copyrights, all the stuff.
Albums versus singles.
Oh, yeah. All the things happening all the time, of course. Man, and I've always said it. I said, man, the movie industry moves a few to several years behind the music. We had CDs and music and, you know, in movies, you were still renting VHS tapes. And I'm like, man, don't they have can't you put it on a disc? This is stupid. But it lags behind. We had the end of Tower Records. Years ago, I don't know, all the big box album CD stores that weren't Walmart or something
Virgin Records
went out of business.
Done.
But we still had Blockbusters and stuff for
family video.
Still renting videos.
Yep.
But their days were numbered. And sure enough, here in the last year or two, Blockbuster's gone under. You got the little kiosks outside of grocery stores.
The red box.
But as far as renting DVDs, it's kind of starting to go away. And obviously, from Netflix's point of view, they'd like to see DVDs go away. You can get rid of all your postage, all your warehouse, all your employees. Netflix can just be one guy sitting in an office somewhere. That he's running for like $800 a month,
mm-hmm.
and just streaming. He just buys server space.
And just watching the dollars come in.
And just watch the dollars come in a subscription. So Netflix, for those of y'all not in tune with what's going on, they've raised their prices. I'm a Netflix guy. So I was doing the $9.99 unlimited streaming. Now, they don't have everything on there.
Right.
Which stinks. You look for movies and like, eh. But then you'll be scrolling through and you're like, oh, Jaws. Cool. And you'll watch Jaws that night. I mean, I just kind of look for something I want to watch. So for $9.99, unlimited streaming, plus you can get one DVD at a time.
Physical.
In the mail of anything they've got. So they come out the other day and they say, hey, from now on it's $7.99, unlimited streaming. And then we also have a program that's $7.99, one DVD. Meaning $16 for both services that you're already paying for. And this is a sign of the times to come. Man, I get used to streaming those movies on Netflix and TV shows. I get tired of it. I stop it. But, you know, I got the kids in the house. I watch the same movie 100 times.
Over and over.
Hearing it, you know, I'm just Curious George. All right, just punch it up there. Now, you don't even have cable.
No.
So I don't know what you have to offer in this conversation.
Not much.
But you are an entertainment maven, a business guy who follows a lot. And where are we headed here, Blue? Where are we headed?
Well, we're definitely headed completely online.
Yeah, just streaming.
I mean, pretty obvious. Everything will stream. It'll be in a cloud. Apple's coming out with their cloud-based
system.
The iTunes cloud.
So this would be, instead of my iTunes actually residing in my iPod or on a hard drive backed up, it's just existing in outer space.
Yes.
So if I gaze skyward, that's just kind of where
you can just see your movies right up there in the sky.
I'm just like, it's up there somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Just waiting for you to hit a button.
And that's
on
it.
On a remote. There it is.
God, what a crazy world. You know, I think it lends a lot to a lot of people said for a long time when streaming and subscription kind of stuff was starting to go around in the music world. People go, man, it'll never work. People want to own the album.
Mm-hmm.
They want to have it. They want to hold it. They want to read it. They want to touch it. And, I you know, look at all the vinyl I got over there. I'm one of those guys. But, man, you know, movies, I don't care if I have it. I just want to watch it, and that's it. I just want to stream it when I want to see it.
Right.
It's hard for me to be honest with myself and say, well, is music the same way? If I had an unlimited subscription, Spotify or something mm-hmm. down the line,
you could get it.
And someone
moment.
Goes, hey man, have you heard the new Jack White deal he produced for old so and so? I'm gonna not buy it, but I'm already paying $10 a month for anything in the world I want.
You'll
ever.
Give it a listen.
I'll give it. I say, you know, at the office the other day, I listened to the first 4 or 5 songs, and yeah, man, it's cool. It's out. It's good to know it's out there for everyone to listen to. I mean, but I don't have to make a decision to buy it or stick it somewhere or burn it into my iTunes. It's just out there. Is that where we're headed, you think?
You know, I think we're coming full circle here.
How's that?
Back to the concept of a little place called the library.
Oh,
you
now,
don't
wait,
go.
No, hold on. The library.
You don't go. You know. You didn't used to go buy books. You know, you would go to the library. You would check it out.
Check out the book.
And you'd give it back. A public service.
It'll all be free. It's there for anyone who wants to experience it.
Anyone who wants to experience it and then put it back for someone else to experience.
Right. But, of course, in the case of streaming, you're putting nothing. You just use it.
You just use it.
It's my deal is just how – I mean, you know, when we used to sell CDs, guys like me made a lot of money. I mean, I didn't make a lot of money, but
guys like you,
but relative,
right?
You know, you sell a couple $100 in the stores. That's not knocking it out of the park. But then they're like, you know, well, that's 200 times $8 a month. That's $1,600 a month. You're kind of like, well, that's better than a kick in the face. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're kind of like, wow. So when iTunes came in, of course, for a while you didn't get anything.
Right. With Napster, it was just free.
Right.
iTunes has really kicked up some revenue.
Right.
I mean, at least now I get a small, you can get a fraction of whatever that is.
Right.
And
you get
say,
something. You're getting
say,
something.
It's something every month. You kind of like, because people do download and pay money, and there's a very transparent online accounting for iTunes on,
right.
online.
Right.
And, but now with the, but you are downloading a song for a dollar. You know, you are renting a movie for X or buying a DVD. It seems like there was streaming, and I see my Spotify numbers, and you're talking about fractions of a penny. Just because someone listened to Maria in Portugal one time, and so you get 0.0001 cent, and it says, you know, Spotify, and I'm just like, man, point zero. I mean, how many? On the one hand, you're like, man, more people will listen, but the money is never going to eclipse what it was before. So is that the deal? You'll be more famous than ever and then poorer than ever?
Something like that. I think a lot of it is also that there's just so much more volume of music, volume of movies.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the market is a little watered down.
Yeah,
it's, you don't have the
yeah.
time to listen to every new album
right.
that comes out that you want to because there's just not enough
albums
in the day.
Back then, anyone with a stereo bought Michael Jackson's new album. I don't know.
Right.
Kids, adults,
and they
black,
were, and
white,
Michael Jackson
women,
was,
men, whatever. He was universal. You
and
know?
He was competing with, you know, three or four other albums that came out that month.
That's right. That's
you
right.
Know?
He wasn't competing with just
there was no
every guy.
Indie artist. There was
right,
no
right,
online,
right.
you know. So
right.
it's a blessing and a curse. There's more great music out there.
Yeah.
But there's really, you know, no way to decipher what's good and what's not. You know, unless you go out there. So I think that's really the future is the filters.
Right.
That's where Google's made all their money because they have really taken to heart when you search for X, you're going to get X first.
Right, right.
And it's not going to let somebody else pay to, you know, have the top spot.
Right.
And so I think that is, you know,
the filters
happening in niches.
Will win the day, yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, if somebody can come out with that filter that really gives people what they want and not just pushes, you know, whatever record label has
uh-huh.
money to push,
right.
the distribution, you know, channel is changing.
Well, I'm
evolving.
Interested in Spotify has a lot of things going for it. At least on the it's been on the come now for a couple of
yep.
years. It's been big in Europe, and it's just now starting in the United States, where you pay what is it $10 a month or roughly
$9-$10,
and you just have access to just every song,
everything they have,
right? The licensing,
kind of like Netflix. They don't have every movie yet,
right, because they don't have the licensing on it, right. Because there is still some short money to be made
mm-hmm.
for the new. You know, Harry Potter DVD.
Right.
It's like, we don't want to put it so where people can just stream it online. We can, because we're still selling some and there's some short money there.
Right.
But that's what the labels did because they were short money and continuing to push CDs.
They held on too long, though.
But they held on too long. And so
and
now.
And that's the great thing about Netflix is they moved from the, you know,
uh-huh.
the storefront. They never had one. They went to the mailing.
Uh huh. Right.
You know, and now they've jumped off of that wave and onto the digital before it was too late.
Right.
If Netflix just said, no, online streaming is not going to catch on, we're going to keep mailing this.
Discs.
This is, look, it works
we're
so well.
More warehouse
it
space.
Works so well.
yeah.
Then they'd be in the same spot as the the labels, the music
right.
labels. But they're jumping off at the right time.
My question ultimately is this. Why is the music business so slow to adapt where it seems like film's going to do a little better?
Yeah.
Why is that? I wonder if it's
Well, I think a lot of it is you still do have a huge population of mm-hmm. folks that are still listening to CDs in their cars.
Yeah.
You can't really watch DVDs in your cars. I know a lot of cars have the DVD player now.
Right,
you can
maybe
put one on for the kids, but every time you get in the car, you could have your CD turned on.
Mm-hmm.
You could be jamming out to your favorite album.
Right.
So I think there's a mobility issue there where not everyone has iPods or their cars don't have an iPod
yeah.
hookup. Or, you know, the phones aren't quite there. I mean, I think the technology is not quite there.
Uh-huh.
Whereas most people, you know, now have internet at home.
Right.
And they have a TV.
Mm.
So the infrastructure is there for the movies to actually pass the,
right.
you know, the music industry.
Right.
Because it's a little less mobile of a medium.
And there's not that many quality two-hour movies that get made every year.
Right.
I mean, there are relative, but... How many albums
compared to music.
Are made every year? It's kind of like, God, I don't know. Everybody I know makes an album a week. I
right.
don't know. Just there is so much digital product.
Right.
And there's a lot more in movies now than ever. But it's still relatively – if you say, man, we made a two-hour film and it is viewable here, That's still a filter in and of itself.
And
it's
like,
that's a feature film. It takes
quite a bit of time and
years
money to
do that.
Movie,
right, exactly.
Right.
It just does.
Anyone can come make an album here at Trinidad World Recordings, mind you.
Absolutely.
In a week, you can have it done.
Yeah, and it's so.
And be a part of the.
I just wonder if the. It seems that the music guys, the executives, it just they were just so slow to adapt that they just their lifestyle was so good.
Yeah.
They just didn't.
They'd made so much for so long.
They saw themselves as kind of the industry.
Yeah.
And they just were too slow to get out of the way. Or at least say, hey, let's just move aside. We'll sell all our far.
And it was really the first industry to be affected with Napster. Whereas the movie industry got to watch what happened to the music industry and maybe be ahead of the curve.
That's probably right, too.
They were taken by surprise with Napster. And at the time, if you think back, how could anyone have really known what direction it was going to go? And so rather than embracing it, they tried to squelch it, which they couldn't hold it down. And you know, I think the movie industry has seen that. And they're
maybe
playing
a little bit from it,
a little better game, and yeah, it's a little bigger industry, I would say, probably with the big studios making the movies, because it is such a more high dollar venture.
Yeah, right.
That they got to really know what they're doing.
Yeah,
music labels, you hit and miss all the time, you know,
you can shoulder a camera and shoot a 2-hour movie and say, well, I'm in a movie too. It's just kind of, you know, there's such to any viewer, no matter how. There's such an obvious kind of like, oh, this is just some dude.
Right.
But, man, you know, some guy records in his bedroom with a guitar and vocal. People might say, man, that sounds good to me.
Yeah.
And you might listen to that a lot and not be that – you might listen to the new Counting Crows that cost $1 million to make and think, well, I don't like it as much.
Right.
But you're not going to look at – probably, unless you know the guy or if you're in the movie, the 2-hour shoulder held – thing, unless it's something really special, and that does happen. But
well, and in music,
you know,
too,
you can
sample someone's song in 3 minutes and say, oh, I like this, I want to listen to more.
Sure.
You can't sample a movie in 3 minutes. So again, the mobility of music has made it more fan centric.
Right.
Whereas in the movie industry, they still hold all the cards as far as making movies and distributing movies.
Right.
So they actually
there's still a closed circle. There's a closed circle where they can control pricing, inflow and outflow of product and music. Yeah, it's just
gone. And I think the music labels just underestimated the public and the you know, the musicians out there that are just trying to make music.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's a big difference. So the question is, when is the first Phil Pritchett live DVD going to be made? And will it be streaming on Netflix?
I don't know if DVD – I mean
– will it ever be made?
I don't think so. It will be, but it'll
be shot
with all of you fans out there's iPhones. You know,
flip cams.
We'll sync it up and we'll throw it out there, but – I don't think you're not going to sell any DVDs. All right, we're going to make some expensive.
Stream them online.
Huh?
Stream them online.
Stream it online, yeah, absolutely.
Write into us, email us. Tell us if you want a live Phil Pritchett and the full band DVD.
Dude, you can see us.
Just look on YouTube, you'll find us.
That's right. Well, JW Blue Marshall is here talking movies, talking Netflix, talking P2 and the full band's live album. Executive Surf Club recording August the 13th. Make the road trip, folks. Well, you folks in Corpus, you can get in line now if you'd like. Now if you'd like. Oh, exciting stuff coming here in August. Well, coming up, we're going to stagger over to the vault here, put our hands on a vinyl record, and discuss its merits in the vault next. Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast from Trinidad World Recording Studios, my studio here in Fort Worth. Oh, for goodness sakes, musicians out there, songwriters and singers from all corners of the globe, call me. 817-733-5256.
or email me, phil@philpritchett.com. We make records here. Trinidad, come on in town. We got a place for you to stay here. Food. We'll make a record, man. We'll just move in, sink into it, as so many have done. And we love doing it, man. Trinidad, call me, Phil. We'll do it all together. Fun, fun, fun. Well, 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 how about old Blue Marshall, man? J.W., Blue, bass player of the full band, dropping by here, espousing opinions, waxing eloquent on everything, music. Boy, he loves that Billy Joel, doesn't he? Oh, man, Joel, he's a mysterious figure. Once thin with hair dating Christine Brinkley, now just big, bald, drunk. I don't know, man. It's a guy that Kurt South could do like a whole segment on something like that, you know. But, man, no denying the man's commitment to music. Gosh, and his greatness. You know, I mean, growing up in the 80s like I did, and some of you out there, I mean, you take Billy Joel, I like Billy Joel for granted. He's everywhere. He's here. He's there. He's Billy Joel. You know, he's not like a long hair rocker guy, and he's also not an old Frank Sinatra kind of guy. He's just, I don't know, he's just some guy out there making videos and writing songs. Boy, but as the years go by, man, and his music's out there, you look at, I don't know, it's not fair to compare anyone to Billy Joel, but you look at how many hits the guy had, man, just those 30 songs that you know most of the words to, or at least the chorus, like me and Blue were talking about, and it's just astounding, you know. You look at guys who come along like Ben Folds or somebody, or I mean, how good is he? What are his songs? I mean, I'm not trying to put him down at all. He's a very good artist, but you know, he's certainly a piano player. I was trying to think of a piano player of modern day who's had some hits, achieved some notoriety. Oh, well, here's a guy. Okay, you know, whistle five of his songs real quick. You're like, you know, She's a Brick and I'm Drowning Slowly. And I don't know, there's a couple more maybe come to mind, but God, a guy like Billy Joel with the string of hits is just shocking. Well, man, that's the track Laura, kind of an underrated, unknown track. From this record, we're looking at The Nylon Curtain. Had to dig into Billy's, kind of the middle of his career here, middle Billy Joel. This was 1982. The Nylon Curtain, produced as always by Phil Ramone. Always, you know, drinking some whiskey or something on the back of the album cover. I think me and Kurt did The Stranger a while back, one of Billy's first big breakout records. But this was The Nylon Curtain, 1982. It said that, I didn't know this, I was reading about it, one of the first albums digitally recorded, mixed and mastered. So how about that? Very interesting. I think that, if I'm not mistaken, Brothers in Arms, or one of those Dire Straits albums, Money for Nothing, you know, those songs. I think that was one of the first digital albums. So, you know, back there in the early 80s, man. Started using the digital stuff, getting away from the analog. So listen closely and see if you can tell the difference. Anyway, that is Laura, sort of a Beatles-esque McCartney tune, not very well known. But then there you got the three big heavy hitters on this record. It's one of my favorite Billy Joel albums. He's got some weird stuff on here, man. Scandinavian Skies and Where's the Orchestra? Some real symphonic sort of movements, very ambitious stuff. I'm not too into all of it, quite frankly. I don't listen to it a lot with a lot of seriousness. But this Nylon Curtain record's got a couple of my favorite Billy Joel songs on there, including the lead track, the start-off track. I remember this video, man, Allentown, singing about the trials and tribulations of Allentown, Pennsylvania. I think it's an actual town, I'm pretty sure. Anyway, the steel company shutting down, and a great vocal performance here from Billy Joel. I won't be getting up today. Just the lyrics are so freaking great. Check it out. Billy Joel, Allentown.
Bye.
Billy Joel, Allentown, Blue. See, I know Blue and his whole family is back there in Effingham, Illinois. Blue, of course, here in Dallas, listening to his broadcast excellence from his guest spot there, wondering who's going to be in the vault. Who's Pritchett going to put in there, man? Come on, someone to do Blue justice, to bring out and just tie it all together, what we were talking about. Who else better than Billy Joel? Great stuff here, Allentown. Well, man, this next song, one of the other biggies off of this one, big video and everything in the 80s, Pressure. Dude, I love the piano synthy thing here. Talk about a signature lick on a song. I mean, good grief, man. All of us write songs now. We just strum a few chords and something. I mean, who just comes out of the gate going, jen, 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 da, 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 da. We may never see it again, folks. I don't know. You tell me. Email me, philpritchard.com. Is there another Billy Joel out there? Another dude that's just going to come through and churn out 30 hits that we all know the words to and two arenas the rest of his life? I don't know, man. You know, we were talking about that interview he gave on Howard Stern's show. Fascinating interview with Billy Joel. Gosh, you know, he's an aging guy. He's just kind of chilling out. He's not doing a lot of lyric songwriting anyway. I think he writes a lot of music, symphony pieces, classical music, that kind of stuff. He owns a motorcycle shop, like a bike shop. He just hangs out, builds motorcycles. You know, his maybe biggest and best writing and touring days are behind him. Some may say far behind him. But, guy, he still sounds great, still sings well, and plays piano well. But, man, he's left a history, man. What a legacy he's left. Songs like this still blow my mind. Pressure! Now that's an ending. That's how you end a song when you write a great song. You just end it. Well, thanks for listening, folks. Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. Did you know you can download any one of my albums for just $4 at p2tunes.com, including the all-new Blueprint Garage Volume 3 featuring Dirty South, Psycho Killer, all kinds of wild stuff on there. Check that out. $4. Just go to p2tunes.com. Go back and listen to any podcast you want at p2podcast.com. This is the community, folks. You have found the center. You have found that beacon of light out there in the fog. Congratulate yourself on your brilliance, on a journey well led. You have come here, and we're so thrilled that you could have joined us this week. Phil Pritchett here. We are going into that good week. We'll be out there at the front lines fighting the battle of music and bringing you back the news. Well, we're going to leave it here with one of the most classic Billy Joel songs ever, also from the Nylon Curtain. Talking about Nam, man, Vietnam. This is a crusher, dude. Good night, Saigon. What a way to end it here on this edition of the podcast. Our thanks to Blue Marshall, J-Dub, Blue, see you in the van this week, Blue. Thanks for dropping by the studio. Billy Joel will take you out here. We'll see you guys next week on the podcast, everybody. Take care. Much tougher.
Soft soul, they said.